time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Had a little bit of trouble getting on the air here today. Don't know exactly what's going on, but finally made it on. I have to make a public announcement here. I've been kind of looking and anticipating, looking forward to, and also feeling bad at the same time. I want to officially announce I'm done with Henry Porter. My daughter, Abby, cut my hair for me last night. And I figured there, as she was cutting my hair and it was done, Henry, I'll never be back. $10 every 6 weeks I have now saved. I don't have to go to Henry anymore. I can go to Abby. Only thing is when I go to Abby, I don't get all the news in town, so that'll be bad. So I got my hair cut. I'm feeling better. What an unbelievable full moon last night. You guys had the opportunity to see that thing. It was Michelle was trying to give me the details on it. Some type of pink moon or something like that. And I walked out on our front porch here this morning. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. You know, just kind of makes you draw back, doesn't it? That's what I told him. I was out there for a couple minutes. I came back in. I said to Michelle, I said, that was a spiritual moment right there. It really was. To walk back out of there, I had that same feeling that I had back in 19. Oh, my goodness, Lord. When was that? When would that have been? When I first went to Promise Keepers in Boulder, Colorado. That would be 1989, probably 89, maybe 90. Went to Boulder, Colorado for the, as I said, the first ever Promise Keepers. And I climbed up the mountain there in Boulder, Colorado. And as I walked up the top of the mountain, I just kind of sat down there. And you could see, those of you who've maybe been to Boulder or the Denver area, understand when you get up in the mountains and you can look down, you can see the entire city and the University of Colorado was there in front of me. And I looked down over that thing and the scripture came to me. Boom, came right up out of my spirit. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? In other words, we are so insignificant in the big scheme, the big picture. We're not a fly on the wall, man. We're not a fly on the wall. I got that same feeling today when I walked outside and I looked up at that moon. My goodness. Yeah, I created all that. You're not worried about the coronavirus. You're not worried about the deep state. He's not worried about, he ain't worried about any of it. There's a little children's song, got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. Got the whole world in his hands. Got the whole world in his hands. He really does. And the problems that we're facing here in America are man-made or Satan-made, whatever you want to be. And one of the things that I've tried to do over the almost 4.5 years we've been doing the program is try to bring edgy stuff to you. So there's plenty of places that you can go and find mainstream Christianity, plenty of places. And although I get the emails every once in a while, I see them on the Facebook every once in a while. Folks, you know, the stuff I'm bringing to you really isn't heretical. It really isn't. It really isn't. And when we throw it on the table and we discuss it, it's my prayer that it deepens the faith of every one of you. That when the show's over, even though maybe you didn't totally disagree, or how about this? You didn't feel real good. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Even though it didn't feel good when the medicine went down, I hope at the conclusion of the show that you spend some time with the Lord saying, Lord, what is he right? Was that right? Am I missing something here, Lord? Because as I've said, if there's a theme to this show, theme's always been, if it isn't true, I don't want to believe it. And if it is true, I want to believe it. And I got a couple emails yesterday about the whole Passover thing that we went through yesterday. Listen, I am not picking a fight on this issue. I refuse to fight over it. I'm not going to fight I will not fight over it. I told you the truth. Easter is a pagan holiday. So is Christmas. They're both pagan. Can I also be honest with you? We celebrate Christmas. Michelle, we'll celebrate Easter. We're going to make very, very sure that we're not worshiping that holiday and that those in our care, our children, our grandchildren, understand what this whole thing is about. And it's about, not about a bunny and about Easter eggs. And that it's at the center of our Easter celebration, the meal, whatever we do. We're not going to say, hey, I'm sorry, we're Amish here. We don't celebrate Easter. I never said that. But I did say that if when would it ever be wrong to sit down and have a meal in honor of our Lord? When would that ever, how could that ever be wrong? Ever. And I do think it matters to me as a guy who's kind of in the public sphere, whatever you would call this thing that I do. So one of the things that frustrates me is when people accuse me of things I didn't do or things I didn't say. You learn to brush it off, but it bothers me nonetheless. Now, I'm not Jesus Christ, but I got to believe that when we misapply his feasts or his things that he wants us to celebrate or things that glorify him, when we brush those off as insignificant, oh, that doesn't matter to me. You know, I got to wonder, does it matter to him? Does Passover matter to him? And I don't mean from a legalistic standpoint. Don't send me any more emails. I don't care. Celebrate it. But know the truth. That's all. Know the truth. Will we have an Easter egg hunt down here? Yeah, I'm going to have, I got six the most wonderful little grandbabies, and we will probably hide some eggs. We probably will. And we'll still probably celebrate. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not all hyped up about going to Easter Sunday service. I'm just not. Is it okay if I be that way? Is that okay? And I'm not all hyped up about, everybody's got to follow Passover. I'm not all hyped up about that either. If the Lord tells you to do it, do it. Anything that you can do that's going to bring you closer to the Lord, do. And anything that you do that's going to take you away from the Lord, don't do. This is hard. It's not fight over it. Not fight over it. So I'm not going to talk about that stuff today. I'm going to move on. And I think we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a lot to talk about. Where do I start here today, Lord? Well, let's start here. I want to encourage all of you. Jared, go to our video homepage. Folks, here's one of my hesitations. Will all of you out there promise me this? That if I put up a video that goes against your theology, we'll still be friends. Huh? We'll still be friends. Because I've got about five or six more videos sitting in my stomach that I got to get them out on somebody. You got to watch them. And I know that for some of us, it will gore a sacred cow. We gored one yesterday. Easter's a sacred cow. To some of you, it didn't feel very comfortable. But all I would ask you to do is we begin to produce some of these videos and put them up and you begin to share them with others. That you be open to the truth. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to truth. Don't ever say that you did something because I told you to, or you believe something because I told you to. I'm walking out my own salvation with fear and trembling, just like the rest of you are, right? That's what it's about. So I got a couple of things I want to show you today here. On the video platform, I'm telling you, there's a lot of great stuff here. And I want to highlight just a few of them today so that you can later on go there yourself and look at some of the videos, and if they resonate with you, share them with others. So, for instance, you see the one that says 5G is worse there with our good friend David Icke, who, you know, he's been on the forefront of New World Order stuff forever, David Icke has. So you post it on Facebook, and people say, you know, oh, David Icke, oh, it's the same thing when you post Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, oh, you mean the Holy Laughter guy? People immediately see if you make one mistake, therefore you're not right in anything. So run into a lot of that. And you have to be willing to just let the video stand on its own. You have to have some courage about it and send it out to your friends and say, just watch this. Tell me what you think. Just tell me what you think. I never, ever send this to you and say, sometimes I do. I endorse this. Sometimes they do. But I try to provide it to you. This is where I gather some of my information. And I want you to be able to deep dive as much as you want to so that you'll understand. So let me show you one today that I'm going to show you just a few clips of some of these that I think are really worth your watching. Jared, go down there to Amazing Polly. Let's get them all. Now, Amazing Polly. See, folks, all you got to do is go to this page, coachdavelive.com/video, or however you get into the link, and all these videos are there. Some of them are long. Some of them are not quite as long, but they're going to really open your eyes up to some things that we're talking about here. So I got the one yesterday, Let's Get Them All. Now, Jared, I said I want you to go to about the 29-minute and 30-second mark because this girl's really good, man. This girl is really good, okay? And this video is worth you watching. But I want you to show right here, Polly is going to show us the deep state connection. There is a vaccine deep state. There's a medical deep state. And that's the problem that's clouding all of the information that we're getting. Why we don't know who to believe and what to believe. All that stuff. This is all a disinformation campaign, sometimes coming from both sides. How do we know that? Because Psalm 2 tells us that the kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. They are sending up false signals, okay? False signals. Now, what the Amazing Polly does is she just does research, okay? I want you to see this. I'm going to start the 29-minute, 30-second mark, and she's going to show you that Fauci, we know who he is. What's that other girl's name? Burks? Did you know that one of Burks's daughters works directly for Bill Gates? Did you know that the other daughter works for the Clinton Foundation? Did you know that? Do you have any of this stuff? These people are giving advice and telling all of us to hunker down, all that. These people are all connected. So I want you to take just watch a couple minutes of this, and you can go back and look at it later. This is where I get my information. This is Amazing Polly. She says, let's get them all, because there's a vaccine deep state as well. Hina, thank you. I had the wrong date on Sherry Tenpenny. I had the wrong date. Next Wednesday. Next Wednesday she'll be with us. So I apologize for that. Go ahead, Jared. Play this real quick.
These names that we're hearing funded Event 201, which was the coronavirus pandemic planning exercise held in October 2019. Look, my feeling is that Bill Gates is an insane psychopath. I don't even think he hears what he's saying anymore. He's so far gone into this system and believing himself to be some kind of savior of mankind that he doesn't even hear what he sounds like when he talks.
You guys know Bill Gates isn't a doctor, right? Bill Gates is a billionaire businessman. He's not a doctor. What would he know about vaccines? Why would he want to be involved in vaccines? Oh, the Clinton, no, the, what is it? Bill Gates Foundation, whatever it is. Keep going.
But Trump, President Trump, who we all don't know if he's going to go along with this yet. Trump keeps fighting for hydroxychloroquine, yes, and the media keep fighting against him. Our question now is whether or not he will give in to these monsters. Will he? I have to tell you, my honest feeling is that Trump isn't perfect, but Trump doesn't strike me as being a monster. I don't see it. I hope I'm not wrong, but I don't get the feeling that President Trump or his family or the people around him, like the good people around him, like Rudy Giuliani and Peter Navarro and lots of others, I don't think they're monstrous like that. So as long as somebody is getting the truth to President Trump, I can't imagine that he would acquiesce to this pressure. I can't imagine. I can't imagine he will let them get away with this. I can only imagine that he is trying to expose. He and a huge team, not him by himself. He and a huge team of people are trying to expose the Gateses, the Soroses, the Rockefellers, the whoever trying to expose them for what they are. I pray to God that that's what's happening. But it can't happen unless this army of digital soldiers like myself and Patrick Howley and Grace, did I point that out? Grace, really graceful? Oh, come on. She did an amazing video exposing the background of Bill Gates' family, who are all part of this. It's generational. Here's a picture that's floating around.
Look at this picture, folks. Freeze that, Jerry. This is amazing. Bill Gates is standing, Bill Gates' dad, Bill Gates Sr. standing right in the middle. You see that? Ted Turner's beside him. There's Bill Moyers. Remember old Bill Moyers, CBS? There's Judy Woodruff. Remember her? Look at that. Dr. Anthony Fauci. Wow. Tom Brokenjaw standing right beside George Soros. Barbara Walters. It's a deep, deep nest of people. Keep going, Jared.
Astors, the Annenbergs. Apparently this woman is I think she's a Rockefeller going back in time. There's Bill Gates Sr. There's Anthony Fauci. There's George Soros and more. Ted Turner, Bill Moyers. That was at the Carnegie Institute Awards Ceremony in 2001. Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy. Right. Philanthropy is just code for eugenics, I think. Just like public health. Code for eugenics. To review, the coronavirus task force made up.
Stop right here a second. Because if you get a chance, go back and look at this video. She's going to show you the connections here. Now, I'm going to do it real quick because we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them, okay? But if you look up there, you see the arrows pointed at Mike Pence. There's the coronavirus task force. Pence, Deborah Birx, and Anthony Fauci. They're the task force. Anthony Fauci is helped start a thing called PEPFAR with this Mark Dybul, who's standing there beside him, who's connected to Bill. This is so deep. This is so deep. This is all one big web of connection of these people. Laura Blix, down there at the bottom, is Deborah Blix's daughter, who works, are you ready, directly for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. These people are incestuous. She has another daughter who worked directly with Maeve Kennedy McKean, who was just found dead. Pretty wicked stuff. Just play a couple more minutes out of Jared.
Of Mike Pence, Deborah Birx, Anthony Fauci. We come to find out that both these two have massive conflicts of interest. They are beholden to Bill Gates. They're invested in things with Bill Gates. Money, money, money comes from being loyal to Bill Gates and his plan. Deborah Birx's daughter works directly for Bill and Melinda Gates. Boom. That is a boom. And we find out that Maeve Kennedy McKean, who just died in that weird...
You can watch this video on your own. It's up on our website, and I would just tell you, you want to get more about it, do that. Jared, go back to the video page. Anybody have a comment on any of this yet?
Philanthropy is a cover for child trafficking. I hope we all know that now.
As well. It's a cover for a lot of things. That's why Bill Gates went into the Gates Foundation, because it all appears to be philanthropy, right? Doing the right thing. It all appears to do that, right?
Bill Gates' father worked for Planned Parenthood and his mom worked for IBM.
Connect the dots here. Connect the dots, Psalm 2. I'm going to go to Psalm 2 here in a second. Jared, play up at the top. Is COVID-19 even real? Just another... Hey, another little...
You know, there's nothing new under the sun. This philanthropy being the smokescreen for child pornography and all. Just look at the Masons and the Masonic Lodge and the Shriners. Man, those Shriners, that their hospital they built is a super smokescreen for some really debaucherous stuff.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, isn't it crazy how these, how this deep state has been all around us for years, and what a good picture they put out about it, right? Now, this video is pulled down I don't know how many times, and this guy just asked the question, is it even real? Go ahead and play this real quick, Jared. Jared, maybe you can time and a half this one.
Create a totally false panic about a totally false pandemic, pick a coronavirus. They are incredibly common and have many different varieties. A very high percentage of people who have become sick by other means like flu or bacterial pneumonia, many other causes, will have a positive PCR test for COVID, even if you're doing the test properly and ruling out contamination, simply because COVIDs are so common. There are hundreds of thousands of flu and pneumonia victims in hospitals throughout the world at any one time. To create a false claim of pandemic, all you need to do is select the sickest of these in a single location, say Wuhan, administer PCR tests to them, and claim those few people showing viral sequences similar to a coronavirus are suffering from a presumed new disease. Since you are already selected the sickest flu cases, a fairly high proportion of your sample will go on to die. You can then say that this new virus has a case fatality ratio higher than the flu, and use this to infuse more concern and do more tests, which will, of course, produce more false cases, which expands the testing, produces yet more false cases, so on, so on, so on. Before long, you have your pandemic. Totally fabricated, all you've done is use a single test kit trick to convert the worst flu and pneumonia cases into something new that doesn't actually exist.
Okay, Jared, you can just run the same. And folks, another video that you ought to take the time to. None of us, I have never said that the coronavirus is not real. I've never said that. I've never said it. I said that you're using it for nefarious reasons, the financial reasons, all of this stuff involved with it. Why are these questions? Why is this never promoted by the mainstream media? Did you guys see yesterday that this Deborah Birx admitted publicly for the first time? I thought I kept the clip, but evidently I didn't. She admitted for the first time yesterday that anyone who died, if chances are pretty good, well, that's not good to say. Anybody, one of the reasons coronavirus is so high is more people are getting tested. They're getting tested. So as more people are getting tested, they're saying, golly, there's more and more. When was the last time you were tested for the flu? Let's say a year ago. Were you tested a year ago to see if you had the flu? No, you may have had the flu. You may have been a carrier of the flu and you had the flu. You didn't go test for it. Now they're asking everybody to go test for it. And what happens? More and more cases of it show up. But the truth of it is you can have the virus and it really not have an impact on you. And the Deborah Birx yesterday admitted that when anyone dies, if they do an autopsy or a blood test or however they would do it at the end of it, and they determine that the person had the coronavirus in their system, they list it as a coronavirus death. You can have the virus and not die. Do you understand that, folks? Can you understand it? So who is controlling all of this? Who's controlling all of it? How has this thing become such a huge worldwide pandemic? And should that scare us? Jared, click on MIT biologist, Dr. Shiva. Click on him real quick. Yeah. Is that Larry?
Yeah. Whoever? Here in South Carolina, the reality from everything I can find out and I follow and dig deeply is it's just about the opposite. The only time they attribute someone to actually counting in the coronavirus numbers is after rigorous screening before they get to take a test and then waiting for up to 72 or more that, you know, hours for a result of the test. And as far as the deaths go, the deaths are not reported by the same people that report the number of the number of cases. It's two different reporting systems that are not hooked together. Unless that lady has inside knowledge of every country, every state that's reporting numbers to whoever they report it to, unless she's got an inside seat at the table, I don't think her opinion amounts to much myself. That's my personal thing.
Well, Larry, she's a spokesperson. That's what I'm saying. Deborah Birx is a spokesperson. She admitted that anyone who dies with the virus, they blame that as the cause of death.
She made a false admission because that is not the on the ground case in South Carolina. It's grossly the opposite, which is just as bad, because they're cooking the numbers by their misogynations of the reporting process.
Okay, but hang Dave. On. Jared, go back to the video page. Go ahead. Come on in. Come on in.
Okay, it's Chad. I was just going to say that, you know, I think each of the reporting, whoever's reporting it, okay, if they tend to have an agenda, then they're going to put those numbers one way or the other. Statistics can be manipulated very easily.
Amen.
And so that's what's happening. And that's what's behind all this. So
that's right.
Now the author's confusion is the devil.
That's right. That's the point
so
I'm trying to
make. If they're not being straightforward, then, you know, hey, they've got an agenda. Hallelujah.
Jared, go back to the homepage. Pull Dr. Shiva off it. Folks, I would just spend some time watching these videos. I'm not in position to say whether they're real. Just spend some time. So, Jared, go back to the homepage real quick, because I want to direct you to another video that Larry made a very valid point. We don't even know where the information's coming from. Jared, click on Montana physician Dr. Annie Bukacek, right beside Bill Gates. Yes. Folks, you need to watch this one. This is 17 minutes long. She's at the state level. She goes to Chuck Baldwin's church. Jared, forward this to about the 2-minute mark, and let's just watch a clip of this. Okay?
Dr. Annie Bukacek.
Listen. I'm not wasting time here. Okay. If you want to be educated, to be able to talk to people around you, you need information on your own. I can't give it to you all. Okay. So this is a lady who's going to talk to us now about how they're labeling deaths in Montana. Go ahead, Jared.
A threat to national security. We're very blessed to have a pastor who tells us the truth. We are blessed beyond measure. So I'm going to read this so that I make sure I don't give excessive commentary. So I'm going to talk about death certificates today. The decision for unprecedented government mandated lockdowns has been based on the alleged death rate of COVID-19. Is this death rate based on truth? I posted the following question on Facebook yesterday. This is the question. Know anybody personally with baseline good health who has been hospitalized for COVID-19 alone or allegedly died from COVID-19? That was my question. I asked the question this way because if you know someone personally, you may know their baseline health status and some details of the case. And being tested positive for COVID-19 does not mean you have the disease. Even asking the question this specifically, I still got some people saying their spouse knows a friend of a friend who's of a nephew in New York. And some who answered yes, but didn't give the details, even though I asked them, could you please submit some more details? I got over 350 comments and received dozens of no answers, if not scores. Last I counted, there were 3 or 4 who answered yes and said their case fit the criteria, and they gave me some details. But even those 3 or 4, giving them the benefit of the doubt that they were answering honestly to the best of their knowledge, does that mean the person they described was actually stricken with COVID-19? Inquiring minds want to know, are the reported deaths from COVID-19 truly deaths from COVID-19? To address this question, we need to discuss death certificates, since death certificates are the basic source of information about mortality. The discussion of death certificates is not a fun one. We have all grieved so many losses in our lifetimes. Still, we need to talk about it because they are the basis of the so-called death rate of COVID-19. History-changing decisions are being made due to these figures, despite the fact that they are flat-out wrong, based on data that is insufficient and often inaccurate. Few people know how much individual power and leeway is given to the physician, coroner, or medical examiner signing the death certificate. How do I know this? I've been filling out death certificates for over 30 years. More often than we want to admit, we don't know with certainty the cause of death when we fill out death certificates. That is just life. We are doctors, not God. Autopsies are rarely performed, and even when an autopsy is done, the actual cause of death is not always clear. Physicians make their best guesstimate and fill out the form. Then that listed cause of death, whatever we list, is entered into a vital records database to use for statistical analysis, which then gives out inaccurate numbers, as you can imagine. Those inaccurate numbers then become accepted as factual information, even though much of it is false. So, even before we heard of COVID-19, death certificates were based on assumptions and educated guesses that go unquestioned. When it comes to COVID-19, there is the additional data skewer that is, get this, there is no universal definition of COVID-19 death. The Center for Disease Control, updated from yesterday, April 4th, still states that mortality, quote-unquote, data includes both confirmed and presumptive positive cases of COVID-19. That's from their website. Translation, the CDC counts both true COVID-19 cases and speculative guesses of COVID-19 the same. They call it death by COVID-19. They automatically overestimate the real death numbers by their own admission. Prior to COVID-19, people were more likely to get an accurate cause of death written on their death certificate if they died in the hospital. Why more accurate when a patient dies in the hospital? Because hospital staff has physical exam findings, labs, radiologic studies, etc., to make a good educated guess. It is estimated that 60% of people die in the hospital. But even those in hospital deaths, the cause of death is not always clear, especially in someone with multiple health conditions.
Okay, Jared, we can stop.
Each of which could cause the death.
Again, another video that you should watch, because as we've been saying all along, whoever controls the statistics controls the results. I'm not here at all downplaying this COVID-19. It is killing people. It is tragic. But folks, what is causing them to close down the world? And I'm going to tell you this. It is directly associated with two things: vaccines and the economy. That's where I'm going to leave it at today. A lot of good stuff. We put up good stuff. Listen, if you come across a good video, some of you have done that. And again, I don't have time to sit around and watch a million videos, all right? But if you come across a good video, send it to me. Say, Coach, check this one out. And we'll post it, because we're trying to make this an information gathering place where people can come and hear different views and different ideas of exactly what's going on. The more information we have, the better our chances are at finding the truth. That's a long monologue. Somebody, come on in here. Tell me what.
Hey, Coach, can I jump in here right quick?
Please do.
I'm running for the congressional seat for the 7th District of Southwest Missouri. There are 769,522 people in the congressional area. I actually went to the U.S. Department of Health and also the Missouri Department of Health websites and put together a statistical count of everybody that has COVID ID or COVID-19 in Southwest Missouri. As of yesterday at 10 a.m., there were 104 cases in Southwest Missouri. Now, 6 people have died in Greene County, which is up around Springfield, Missouri, and that is unfortunate. But if you take 104 cases into 769,522 people, your chances at that rate are of getting this illness is 1 out of 96,650. And we've shut our economy down. We've put hundreds of thousands of people out of work, hoping that they're going to get $1,200 of helicopter money here in the next week or two. Over this, we have shut this country down over this.
So what's going on?
How long is it going to be before there's going to be a riot, a revolt?
Well, that, Kevin, that's exactly the point that I made. I don't know who I was talking to yesterday, and I mentioned it in the queue before we came on the air today. How long are some of these non-saved, non-Christian, good old boys who cannot pay their bills, how long are they going to sit around and not push back against this thing, folks? And we have to ask ourselves, is this part of what Psalm 2 folks are all about? Is it what it's all about? Are they trying to stir dissension and what some Folks, there's something bigger going on than a virus.
You know, Coach, you talked about, and I agree 100% with everything, and information is important. Truth is more important. And Fauci's not even an MD. He is a specialist in, you said it, he who controls the statistics. That's what this guy is. He's not an MD. He doesn't practice medicine. He is a specialist in statistics. Why is this guy the front man for it?
So let me give you an answer here, Dale. Folks, I think this is as good a theory as any. Somebody said, why won't he open it up? Why is he believing this Fauci and this Burks? And what's, just open it up. Well, we have to realize that the president knows a lot of things that we don't know. And could it be possible that he is aware that if he says on April 10th, the day after Easter, April, whatever day that is, on Monday, we are going back to work. And he makes that announcement, stands in the Oval Office, and everybody cheers, yay, yay, yay. And then the deep state releases another virus. Something close to it, something more deadly. And all of a sudden, we're into July and we're into August, and everybody's getting sick again, and the election's up in a few months. Everybody's getting sick again. And what is the media going to scream? What's that? Well, he didn't take it seriously. He opened the country up to, you understand the dilemma that this guy could possibly be facing. And I want to take you another place that is really, really of grave concern. You do understand, don't you, that our election process has been turned on its head, right? There's several states that are having elections by mail. That's what they're proposing for us to do in November, elections by mail. Why is that? What's going on? Jared, pull up Psalm 2 for me again there, if you would, real quickly. We can never, ever lose sight of what's going on, friends.
I agree with you, but I don't think the rollout will be in the summer, because anybody in the medical field knows viruses are not susceptible in high heat. But right. October is the beginning of flu season.
Point being, at some point, Dale, they release it again, right?
And this right here, Corona itself, this is coming back next year. This is not a one and done deal.
That's right. So why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because the kings of this earth have set themselves, and they're making plans, and they're conspiring together, and Fauci and Gates and Soros and the Rockefellers and all those tinfoil hat names that nobody wants to talk about. We are finding that those enemies of the cross are real. They are real. And their only chance to be able to conquer the world is they have to conquer America, where liberty used to reign supreme. It doesn't anymore. We can see how quickly they were able to close down the entire stinking country. They closed it down. They could clamp us down even more this week. Every day they could grind. We see that the kings of this earth and the rulers have taken counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. It is happening, friends. Now, you can go to the book of Revelation if you want to, and we can talk about the plagues and the horses and the rider on this horse and the rider on this. It's right here's the genesis of it. Right here it is. There is a nefarious, demonic, devilish team at work. It's appearing everywhere. And I said last week, and they laughed at me again, I don't even care. Folks, this is a multi-dimensional battle that's going on. The spiritual realm is actively involved in everything that we see that's happening before us. And if you're going to your church, or you're listening to your pastor, and he's just singing happy words about, well, just trust in Jesus, and he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I do that. We pray Psalm 91. We believe that. We understand that we're dwelling in the secret place. Why? Imagine, I wish I had an umbrella. Imagine Psalm 91. Jared, go there real quick. Quickly. Go quickly there. Go to Psalm 91.
Coach, what are you doing with that? you've already demonstrated that perception equals reality, and that perception can be manipulated anytime, anywhere. It's so simple. As we can see, they shut down an entire global economy with a perception.
Yeah, something we don't even know is real. I mean, we believe it's real, but we don't know. We don't know, right? So Psalm 91, imagine, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So imagine this, folks. Picture you or me standing under an umbrella. That's the secret place of the Most High. That's the shadow I'm under. So what do I do? Do I just stand there all day under my shadow, under my umbrella? Is that what I do? Is that what Christianity is about? Me just standing, holding an umbrella, protecting me and my family? No. Psalm 91 is about the fact that wherever you go with your umbrella, you have the protection of the Most High on top of you. And why do we need the protection of the Most High? Because there is an active enemy at work. An active enemy. They're not teaching us in this church, in our churches, that this is a global scheme by the devil to destroy everything good. We still have not made the connection. We're sitting here and we're worried about, and I'm not going to get into this debate, whether or not it's the end of the world or not the end of the world. Why wouldn't we act like it's not the end of the world and fight like heck to defend what we have now? It's the end of the world. It isn't going to matter. But if it's not the end of the world, it will matter. Instead, what do our pastors tell us? Just dwell under your umbrella. We're going to make sure this, dwell under your umbrella.
The perception is that the church is the umbrella. In fact, the church, the umbrella is on top of us, attached to us, part of us. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the church.
Well, whether it's real or not, let's set that aside. What have they done? Okay, let's just look at another subject. All of the power plants in the country, all of the factories, all of the oil and gas pipelines, all of the automated cars could be hacked, wrecked, blown up, exploded. We'd be out of power forever. If the media spent time playing it 24/7 about the vulnerability of the power grid, the vulnerability of cars, what would happen is there would be a public outcry. We would be controlled to go do something. Does it change the fact that we had a flu every year and people died? Does it change the fact we're having a flu this year and people are dying? No. But what changed? Media is promoting the numbers, this flu. They never did that before. I can't think of one time they talked about, even when the bird flu and SARS came out, which, by the way, the bird flu SARS is COV-2A. The coronavirus, COV-2A. It's the same. But they didn't run all this when SARS came out before. But they have the ability to control us. At the beginning of the show, you said they're testing. Why are they testing? Because it's been on the media. They're telling people to be tested. They were never told to be tested for another flu.
Ever. That's
what,
right.
What were the numbers? It's invalid because the media didn't send everyone to get tested. That's the bottom line. Same way as the power plants. As soon as they start telling us, the public's going to react like a bunch of puppets on a string.
Flip that over, Mark. Flip it over. All that has to happen right now, coach is watching two or three screens in front of him. If he sees a headline that says, panic, Korea launches missiles, then the screens go blank and all the power goes off. We will all know for sure, because perception equals reality, we will all know for sure that Korea launched an EMP attack and it's over. Nobody will have to even say it because we're all primed.
All right, the media is driving people to be tested. Numbers are higher because of the media, not because of the virus. Because we don't have data on any of the prior Corona COV2A testing that came out before because they didn't drive people to test.
Go ahead, Larry.
You know, let me throw just one more caveat in there that I haven't heard people talk about yet. Now, maybe they changed the formula in the chemtrails and this virus is coming to us, dropping down out of the sky.
We don't know, do we?
Regardless, it's the same virus that came out before, regardless of how they are administering it, Larry. The point is they're driving us to test. That's the change between this and the last flu season. The media is pumping it out so that we react. We don't have valid data.
We're driving us to test or not. It's whether they're driving us. They're driving us to do whatever it is they want us to do. Tomorrow will be different.
Our governor said yesterday, he was asked specifically the question about when this will be over. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, this will not be over until everyone is vaccinated against it. Right out of his mouth. That is the goal. Now, why do they want to vaccinate everyone?
Right.
Because we now know they have the ability to put inside of you a little communication device within the vaccination. Right or wrong, Mark?
It's possible. All the technology's there. We can't say for sure, Coach. But all the technology, I believe they could inject us with more metals. I don't think it has to be a chip. Our body is the computer that they can control. They need to make better antennas out of us.
They don't
care about Alzheimer's. You develop Alzheimer's, you become easier to control because you got more metals on your brain.
But see, Mark, we think the best about people. I posted something yesterday about Bill Gates and somebody on my Facebook page and somebody says, well, he's just doing his best to help America. I'm thinking, are you serious? Is that really where we are? That people can't understand what's driving Bill Gates and it isn't philanthropy? He's openly talked about the reducing of the population through the use of vaccinations. If they want, oh my goodness. Anyway, I don't want to get too far down that road.
Quick question on Bill Gates quickly. Does he have enough money to not be arrested?
Of course he does. Come on. That's easy. But the thing I wanted to remind everybody of is the mark of the beast goes one of two places. Okay? Not just in. All right? Right hand, forehead. That's it. So that's the thing to look for when you're getting
How many of you guys remember the smallpox vaccination from decades ago? After they gave it to you, you had to go back and have somebody to look at the physical manifestation of what happened from where they scratched you at. Yep. And that physical manifestation on your body told them whether you were immune or not from that point on. Now, what if they have developed in this vaccination when it comes out a physical manifestation that appears on your body, either on the back of the hand or on the forehead?
That's a good theory. And by the way, smallpox, I've said this before, is African green monkey kidney DNA. That's what you're getting injected with. You basically become a chimera from the smallpox, believe it or not. It changes you.
Wow. So folks, what if... Let's think down the future. We're hearing about food shortages, all that kind of stuff. I mean, people aren't working, right? How can food be produced? I hope you're planting a garden, by the way. Let's get ourselves down the road and we make it through the summer and we make it through the winter. And then all of a sudden about January, February next year, they come out with this cure for this virus. And they say, listen, we're afraid that this virus is going to come running back around here again. And the only thing we can do to prevent it is everybody's got to get a vaccination. And here's what we're going to do. If you don't have proof that you've had the coronavirus vaccination, you can't go to Kroger's. You can't go to Walmart.
There you go.
When you go there, you got to show your vaccination card when you come in there. And if you won't show that vaccine, this is what Bill Gates would like to set up, if you want my honest opinion, right? And so we look at what's going on in the White House. Fauci connected to Gates. Burks connected to Gates. Burke's daughters connected to Gates. It seems to me that the kings of this earth are conspiring to do something. Now, are they doing it with the best of intentions? Do they really want to save people? Well, we can debate that one all day. Folks, are we going to sit here, Christians, under our umbrella and watch people around us die? Are we going to sit here in the secret place of the Most High, holding our umbrella, and watch the society come unglued? And if society comes unglued, as we sit under the secret place of the Most High, and we watch it come unglued, are we foolish enough to think it's not going to affect our loved ones? That's where we are right now. We are at the beginning stages of this right now. And I'm here to tell you that within 3 weeks, we are going to see outbursts of violence from those who are no longer going to be locked into their houses. That's coming.
Coach, you think about Moses when he said, thou art the shade during the day and the fire that goes by night. Father, the Father is moving and the church is quarantined. God is moving. He said, Moses said, we won't move unless you move. Who cannot say that God is not moving right now? But what are we doing? We're staying quarantined.
Right. Another suggestion. I happened to was busy yesterday. It's good. I'm getting over whatever I had. Praise the Lord for that. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown did a broadcast. He's doing one every night. It's worth watching. And Hagman Report was also very good last night. You say, Coach, how do you watch both? I don't know. I watch three things at once. I'm telling you, I do. I don't know how I'm able to do that. But there's some great information out there. And Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who most of the church called a lawbreaker, he really sees it. He really, really gets it. And what we have to do, friends, we've got to fight this spirit, this strong spirit of fear. We got to fight it, man. We can't just dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We want to be there, but see, that's a shadow that follows us. Didn't that happen in the 40 years in the desert when the people wandered around? Didn't manna from heaven fall? They didn't just stay where they were. They were moving. They were progressing. They were expanding the gospel. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing as well? And is that what the government is calling us to do? Of course not. Does Bill Gates want the church to assemble? Does Bill Gates... The Benham brothers, David Benham, we're seeing men, an 81-year-old guy yesterday arrested outside of an abortion clinic handing out tracts.
Hey, Coach.
Larry.
You know, you said we're not to bow down and we're not to knuckle under the spirit of fear. Absolutely. I believe that instead of leaning toward the letting fear control our actions, we need to voluntarily bow down to the spirit of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you truly believe the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something that may or may not be in line with the governors or whoever's making decisions and proclamations, please be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And all of us need to make the decision that that's the way we want to operate. And then we need to start operating that way, because if we don't start operating that way, we're just kidding ourselves if we say we want to be obedient to God.
Amen. And we have to have each other's backs, folks. I think that's really, really important. And we can't turn on one another here just because maybe Coach or Larry or somebody says something that you don't agree with. There were some people that were shaking yesterday when I was talking about Easter, talking about Passover, and they want, you know, this, you guys know what I'm talking about. We all become very, very uncomfortable when we're forced outside of our comfort zones.
Folks, what topics are we going to talk about soon that's going to divide us? I mean, we need to really harden.
We have to harden.
You know, if we're all the same, we can only take care of that problem. The only way we can take care of all these different problems is being different. Being different is our strength. It's just like your hand and your foot and your knee and your elbow.
Yeah.
You know?
I woke up early this morning and a question hit my mind. Lord, is there anywhere in your word that quarantine is portrayed? And Noah and his clan were kind of quarantined for a long time, weren't they?
They sure were. They sure were. Under the unction of the Lord, though, Larry, not under the unction of the government.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. If we're gonna obey the Lord, we need to start doing that. The heck mm-hmm. with what the government tells us. It's Amen. A decision that each of us have to make, and we have to start walking out. If you don't walk out a decision you say you've made, then you hadn't made that decision.
It was the government, not a government. Noah went under the unction of the government.
Amen. Good point, Jack. Good point.
We folks, don't know the difference between the law and law.
Law. So listen, I'm not trying to doom and gloom you. I'm not trying to lead a rebellion here. I'm just telling you, I believe we are right now at a very, very critical stage. We're at a really critical stage. And if we just continue to sit around and be sheep under our umbrellas, I'm just afraid that we're going to count on the protection of the Lord, and we may be protected, but boy, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't under that flag, that are under that umbrella, that aren't going to be protected. Just aren't, not going to. So that's where I'm coming down. Robert, you ready to go April 8th? Can you give us a reading here today, brother? Catching by. Jared's ahead of me here today. Good job, Jared. Is Robert in here? I should always check that. I just assume he is. April 8th, not for ourselves, but for others, is the grand law inscribed on every part of creation, says Edward Payson. Not for ourselves, but for others. It's great to be on the winning side, overcoming with Jesus, the King who overcame, even in trying times. God always leads his faithful ones in triumph for Christ. As we are led by the Spirit of God, we overcome the enemies of God by faith. Because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our life, even when faced with death. Help us, Lord. As King David said, God trains my hands for war so that my arms can mend a bow of bronze, and I silence those who hated me. Our bow of bronze today is the living and active word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword of man. It is the truth that sends the devil and the father of lies fleeing, and even shuts up the tempter when quoted. David continues, I pursued my enemies and I overtook them. I didn't cower in hiding from them. I was under the umbrella and I ran after them until they were consumed. I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. So Jesus has given his sent out saints power and authority to crush demons under their feet. Yet all too often, these defeated spiritual enemies whom Jesus defeated and disarmed on the cross are allowed to roam freely on the street. Amen, Robert. Yet the God of peace continues to crush Satan under the feet of the faithful remnant who are obedient. As we destroy speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and continue in his truthful word, we will walk in true freedom and victory. As we are taught and led by the Holy Spirit of truth, we will abide in the truth, walk in freedom, and cast out the demons who seek to disrupt and imprison our lives. Amen, Robert. That's what's going on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Christians who are seated in the heavenlies with Christ need never sit in the gutters of the world, despondent and defeated in despair and ensnared by the world's God. Therefore, my friends, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Amazing. I was going to read from Hebrews 10 today. Unbelievable. We are not of those who shrink back to the destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Jesus warned, you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So don't lose out in inheriting eternal life by listening to those deceived religious ones who claim to have it. Amen, Robert. Hey, listen, check out the video page. You got some good videos. Send them to me. If I don't post them, doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean I don't love it. Just a lot going on, folks. We are in the information age. Let's make full use of it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.